This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Girls on Porn. I'm Laura.
And I'm Rachel.
And we love porn.
This is our porn review podcast.
We talk about what we love and roast what we hate.
Helping you find hot, ethical, just plain better porn for your spank bank.
And we're looking at everything. Today we want to welcome a very special guest. Highly anticipated, big fucking deal in the industry, if you don't know.
Yes.
We are joined today by Jackie St. James. Welcome, Jackie.
Thank you, guys. I'm excited to be here.
Yay. Jackie St. James is an award-winning writer, director, and producer in the adult entertainment industry. An avid feminist, St. James has been an advocate of couples-oriented pornography, creating a wide range of scripted erotic content from romantic comedies to edgier vignettes. Jackie, we're so excited to have you. We're such big fans.
Yeah.
Good. Oh, I'm so happy to be here, guys. Thank you.
Yeah.
So the topic today is hot wife or hot wifing, which I feel like we should dive into in a moment. Because First I just want to shoot the shit about the industry because You have eyes on and access to and knowledge that is well beyond our scope as enthusiastic outsiders.
Watchers, you know?
Yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit about like how you got started and just generally like your work and your career thus far?
Yeah, I mean, I was a huge consumer of porn. I'm a Gen Xer, so I existed during the days where we had to go into like a video store behind the curtain and get porn.
Yeah.
Which was a lot more ballsy than now where people can like hide. But then when the internet came around, like my guy friends would send me links to clips, and they sent me a link to this clip that was called The Wedding Day or something. And it was highly produced and the guys were really attractive and there was a script. And so when I researched the company, because I thought there's no way there's porn like this, they were looking for writers and they were doing like a romance writing contest. And like my friend's like, dude, enter the contest. It'd be hilarious. And so I did and I won. And then, you know, the rest is history. I just started. I left my corporate job and took the giant leap off the cliff to work in porn.
That's fucking rad.
Wow. And how have you found it?
Yeah.
Been pretty good so far?
It's the most freeing industry, and it's strangely very, very good for women. I think a lot of people would be shocked to hear that, but yeah.
Will you say more what you mean by that?
Well, I mean, for example, a lot of times you hear people complaining about in mainstream about how women don't get opportunities to direct. And I believe there's been very few women nominated for Oscars that were directors. In porn for the last several years, there's been half women nominated for Director of the Year. I mean, so we're really taking over the industry and making a mark. And the opportunities I've had working in porn are a lot greater than I would ever have in mainstream, where I'd be struggling just for an opportunity to be, you know, a PA maybe.
Yeah.
So
that's a good point.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you feel like was like the biggest surprise you encountered in the industry? Like, what was a moment that you were like, holy shit, this? Like, aside from that, like, have there been any like big reveals that sort of challenged your own assumptions and expectations?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest one was my first day on a set where, you know, I think being a consumer of porn, you just assume that the women are exactly how they portray themselves on camera. So I was expecting these like hyper-sexualized women, and I was shocked when I'm like, oh, they're just like me. It's an act and it's a performance. And I think that was when I realized, oh, yeah, it's like TV. When you watch TV, they're not the character they're playing. And it's the same with porn. They're just, it's an act.
Yeah.
It's a performance.
Hmm.
What do you think they're like? What are some of the challenges of being a woman in the industry?
You know, I get asked this a lot, and it's funny because I don't actually, I mean, I haven't had a lot of challenges because there's a lot of opportunities for women. I think maybe the most annoying thing for me is that most companies are still run by men. Mm-hmm. So you're still kind of catering to what they feel porn for women is and not necessarily what really is porn for women.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask when you said, you mentioned the act that a lot of female performers sort of put on inside of the scenes versus how they are in real life. I'm curious to hear how much you, I don't know how to ask this, like so much of the act from a lot of female performers in porn, I'm like, I want to tone down, like I want to see female performers that are more like me or less like the like the sort of stereotypical noises that a lot of like female performers make. Like how much do you think that is those male producers or just like trends in the industry? And would you root for something different? Or do you like a lot of that kind of thing? Like, what's your preference around it?
I mean, right now, I just for the last like year and a half, I've been working for a female run studio called Balesa Films, where we are doing everything against what you mentioned, like the fake noises and the, you know, every girl does reverse cowgirl so gleefully. I was like, really?
It's the easiest thing. Everyone has thighs of steel.
It's our favorite position. So, I mean, so of course, like I'm on the same page and I think it's they're changing the way that porn is. I think, though, porn typically it does set a lot of trends. It set it with the pubic hair as well, like where a lot of women were shaving their vaginas. Now a lot of women are growing back their hair and it's becoming more normal as well in mainstream. So, yeah, I mean, I can't stand the fake stuff. But yes, I think it's catering to a male ideal, which is very unfortunate because it's also setting up an unrealistic expectation in real life for what sex is.
And listen, here's a hot take. Like, I think there's a lot of men, like specifically straight cis men watching this porn who actually don't prefer that anymore. You know, like that these trends are sort of shifting. There are more and more men who are like, no, a little bush is nice, you know, rather than like the shaven 12-year-old ideal, just to put it really crassly.
Which I think is like, you know, kind of the appeal of like amateur and like why we've seen like amateur spike so much is because people are turning away from that mainstream idea, you know?
Which is great.
But at the same time, we like love amateur porn, but I still, I love, I'm a sucker for production value.
We love production value. You know? So,
I want a story.
Yes, 100%.
Speaking of story, where do you get inspiration from as a writer?
I mean, I honestly, I mean, I'm one of those people who I just consume every kind of, I remember everything I've ever been told. And I ask a lot of questions of anyone I'm around about themselves and their personal life. And I'm one of those people who like literally can get somebody to tell their life story to me within like minutes. So a lot of it comes from that or research I've done. If I'm doing a genre and I don't, you know, I mean, when you're doing a step sibling genre, I don't know anybody that's banged their stepdad, but I'm just pulling from, you know, just ideas in my head or things that I've been told. And I just sort of weave it in that way.
And do you script all of your own scenes typically, or do you sometimes work with writers?
No, you know, I honestly, it's so funny because people think writing porn is so easy, but like it's one of the hardest things in the world to do because you're not just working within budgets and keeping things super cheap and fast enough to shoot in the day, but you're also writing for the ability of these people who aren't actors. And so like a lot of people are like, that's bad writing. And it's like, well, these people are not like, you know, Oscar winning actors. Yeah, and so let's work with what we've got. And sometimes it's more simple and it's not a lot of subtext. It's just laid out there. And so I think when I've worked with other writers, I always have to rewrite because I think they're writing big picture and they don't understand that like there's a lot of restrictions to writing porn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot.
Yeah.
What's the process like in a day on set? Like, do you, like, how hands-on, like, how hands-on is, like, the scripting of, like, changing, like, I just have, I think most people who watch porn have no idea what goes into, like, shooting a film, you know?
Yeah. I mean, look, we'll talk about it later. That's the other scene we're talking about. Like, you can see a difference in some people that just show up and they, you know, do whatever. But like on our days, it's like, you know, pre-COVID, it's, you know, they're in makeup. Then they have to do pretty girl pictures, which is like bra and panty shots and spread shots. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then after we do that, we start doing the dialogue. Then we have to do sex stills. We have to do box cover for the DVD. We have to do BTS interviews. We have to record the dialogue after they've memorized it.
Wow.
Then we have to shoot the sex. Then we have to shoot softcore. Then, I mean, so it's like, and this is all in one day, and we have to do two scenes in a day.
Wow.
And all their dialogue. Wow. So it's a lot. So like, again, like I'm sort of like with soap operas where they get criticized and I'm like, soap opera actors are memorizing 50 pages of dialogue a day. Like, give them a fucking break, please.
Yeah.
Just in order to get it out. Yeah.
You know, it's the same with porn. It's like we're doing the best we can within the constraints. And the people that are doing like super high end, I mean, they're getting $300,000 budgets. Like, I'm not even getting an eighth of that. So it's like you work with what you've got.
Yeah.
Totally.
Do you, we've heard different things in like offline conversations with directors and stuff. Do you feel like you direct the sex or do you really like direct the scene and then let the performers sort of take the lead with each other in terms of how they interact in the actual sex acts?
So with Balesa, I always direct the sex and that is it's a massive undertaking because you're also dealing with, you know, these, I guess they're called Zoomers, the generation that's like behind millennials where they grew up on porn.
Oh, like Gen Z?
Yeah. The Gen Zers, like where their view of sex is porn because they were raised on porn.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so I'm trying to show the girl like, no, you're not going to go, oh my God, after every stroke.
Yeah.
And so it's really trying to create a human in the performance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And not saying that they're not human and maybe that is what they believe, but like a lot of times just me being an older generation who was able to explore sex without porn, it does make me really sad because you think, you know, I get it's a performance, but like, do you believe anyone's buying this when it's the over the top type of thing?
It's a little bit contending with those expectations and those ideals we were talking about previously of like, you don't necessarily have to make that noise every time his dick goes near your vulva, you know, or like you don't have to, like there's a more naturalistic or grounded way to engage here. And I imagine that even comes into play specifically around the sex acts and the anatomy of like what's happening.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
And also like the idea that they, you know, with Balesa especially, where it's like sometimes the sexiest thing about sex is the moment before you're even having it, like the look or the tension. And so it's like trying to get them to understand that can be really challenging.
Yeah.
So it's not instinctual for a lot of them.
Yeah.
Right.
We've talked before in the show about your video Running Lines with
we loved it. Damon Dice.
That's on Balesa. I think, I don't know, you're like, maybe you don't know the title, but it's the idea is she's like rehearsing for an audition. We use it in our casting couch episode because that can be such a problematic subject area in porn. It's so often you're like, did this woman sign up for this video? Is she getting paid? Is this like actual trafficking?
Trafficking?
Like, we don't know. But we use that as to set against that to sort of, you know, steal the like, oh, it's a rehearsal or like a thing. One thing leads to another, you know, like some of what the tension of what Casting Couch goes for. Obviously not so much the amateur aspect of it, but I just brought it up because it was fucking hot and believable and like the sex didn't feel over performative, you know, and it didn't feel like a lie. Like we just constantly look for a believable orgasm. It's like so much of what we fight for.
It's so hard.
Yeah. And I honestly think there's performers who can come on set and who perform their orgasm in a way that's like beyond what's actually happening. So there's times when I'm like, I think you're coming even though you're doing more than I need you to do to tell me that you are. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can remember a distinct moment when, like, you know, because most of my crew are men and, you know, they believe all of these orgasms are real. And it was like years. I mean, it's just so sad. It's like, I know they're like, she had so much fun. I'm like, no, she didn't. But like, I will remember it was like years into my career. And I remember I was watching the girl and I just couldn't take my eyes off her because I was like, oh, she's going to actually come. And it was so like, incredible and awesome and amazing and so rare.
Mm-hmm. What a challenge. I'll throw in one more question for you, and then maybe we can talk about hot wifery. What do you think the future of porn should or might look like?
I mean, it's really hard to say. I mean, I think we are moving away from the more gonzo aspects of porn. Gonzo being, for those that don't know, where it's just like, you know, the girl walks in and strips maybe and then they fuck. And there's no story. It's just sex. And it's usually hardcore sex. Mm. I think we're moving away from that. But again, I think everything is cyclical. It's even cyclical in mainstream. So I don't think that it's gone forever. I mean, right now we're moving more towards prettier storylines, prettier, you know, higher quality value, although some of the amateur is taking off as well. But
yeah,
I mean, we're just going to see, I think, and hope a lot more diversity in sexuality, in casting, in everything.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, that's our hope too.
Well, should we talk about hot wifing?
Let's talk about hot wives and what they do. I love that you suggested this topic. I have to claim ignorance and say I did not know about this genre. Even if I had like watched some of your scenes that fall into this category, I didn't know that we had a term for it. So we had to kind of do our own research. And I think the first thing we should do is distinguish hot wifing from cuckolding, because there's a very clear divide there.
Right.
Yes.
Do you want to speak to that or shall I take a stab and then you can help me?
take a stab and I'll help you. Yeah.
Well, I think the biggest difference is, like, interestingly, with cuckolding, it's about shaming the man and about
humiliation.
The similarities are that we've got a man and a woman, presumably a wife and someone extramarital, if we're talking about a marriage scenario. And then, like, the husband is either being cuckolded, as in, like, shamed or embarrassed in the situation in cuckold porn, whereas in hot wifing, he is, like, willing or supportive or encouraging or even filming. So the difference is either, like, in cuckolding, it's about the man's pleasure, interestingly. Like, he has a kink around being shamed and about, like, relinquishing that control. Whereas in hot wifing, it may also be about his pleasure, but it's much more about, like, her adventures and him just being supportive of them. Do you feel like I kind of cracked the seal there on that?
Yeah. And I mean, I think the thing about hot wifing that is more appealing is obviously that it's a mutual choice as a couple versus the cuckolding, where even if that's what his kink is, it often comes across as, like, unwilling.
Yeah, he hates it. It's shame oriented. So particularly in porn,
very shameful.
Yeah.
And how did you get into? I mean, this feels like a genre that's like you're big in. You know, like is this something that you got excited about this particular kind of porn and started directing scenes around it, or did someone bring it to you? Like, how did you make your foray into hot wife porn?
Yeah, when I worked with New Sensations, the owner was like, this is when Tumblr allowed porn, and there were so many huge Tumblr accounts that were dedicated to hot wifing. And so I started researching the genre, because most of the stuff that I shoot, I'm like, I don't know anything about this.
Yeah.
But I thought it was fascinating because it's like don't know anything about that. And hopefully, doubtfully, never will.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. I mean, you know. Yeah,
fingers, never know. It's possible.
Yeah.
No, but I, you know, after I did the research, what I loved about it, even though it's not necessarily something I would do, is I loved that it was so much about loving somebody so much and feeling a sense of freedom in mm-hmm. how you love them, in a way that I don't really understand it, but I think it's a great thing and to showcase, especially since cuckolding is, I feel, you know, it's fine, it's whatever your kink is, but there's like a negative side, and I'd rather be the pro couple side.
It takes a lot of trust, someone. You know, if you're gonna hot wife, you know, whereas like cuckolding, you probably have to sign up for therapy afterwards, you know.
Even if you've watched it.
Yeah, I like the idea that hot wifing is kind of like you are proud of your wife, or like you're proud of your partner, mm-hmm. and you mm-hmm. want to share her attractiveness, mm-hmm. and like you don't find her sexuality or her sexual appetite, you know, a problem.
Yes. Yeah, it's sort of the opposite of the like caveman impulse, you know, like it's just celebratory and it feels rife for porn because it's a fantasy. Like I was in an open relationship for almost 2 years, year and a half, 2 years at his request. And it was very complicated. And I think there's like exciting elements to that kind of thing. Like it can really actually heat up your desire for your partner, like for your primary partner to go off and have another adventure and have your primary partner be aware of it. Like there's really interesting dynamics there. But even in that case where he wanted it, there was like a really primal instinct that he was constantly fighting around really severe jealousy around these other people, you know?
Sure.
So it's complicated. So it's fun to see it depicted in porn because, you know, there is a little bit of a chicken and an egg effect with porn where, it, you know, like we touched on this even a little bit earlier, like around pubic hair, but there are ways that porn trends influence sexual trends in real life. So
yeah,
I'm all for more of this, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And I've done a couple like where I was really careful. Like I know with New Sensations, they never wanted me to depict the negative side to it where it didn't work out, which was upsetting because I feel like, you know, you're setting up an unrealistic expectation for some people. But I did a couple on like a couple movies about like how to prepare for hot wifing. And then like, you know, just making sure that if somebody's watching this and wants to try it themselves, that maybe they use some of the tips in the movie.
Yeah.
Let's hope.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's, for me, there's something really sexy about the idea that like my partner is turned on by it, you know, rather than feeling humiliated or like that he can't please me. So I have to go somewhere else, you know, like that, the that fantasy is sits a lot better with me.
Yes. Yes. And the idea that it's like your partner isn't going to fulfill every, I mean, no one partner is going to fulfill every sexual need that you have for the rest of your life. So why not, if you're capable emotionally, explore that?
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of men are open to it subconsciously, you know, like rather than like there are some statistics that we found, like Justin LaMiller surveyed over like 4,000 adults about their sexual fantasies, and 58% of them had fantasies about sharing their partner with other men. You know, which is
a high percentage.
Pulling straight men. That's definitely higher than I would have thought.
What was the age range? Did they give an age range on that? I would not assume it would be my generation.
I don't have an age range, but
okay,
yeah. I thought that it was pretty
We've been meaning to get Justin LaMiller on the show, so maybe we can ask him,
later. Yes.
Yeah. But I also think there's a big difference between like a fantasy and actually wanting to enact something in a relationship, you know, like that number kind of feels higher than I even would have thought for the fantasy, but it's almost the same way like many women have like gangbang fantasies, and what percentage of those women would actually want to do that and navigate the complications of making something like that come to life? But I think this fantasy for men is less extreme, or at least less logistically challenging than organizing a gangbang.
Right.
So
a lot less moving parts.
Less calendars to align. Yeah. Fewer calendars to align. Yeah.
Oh, he's not available on Sunday. Now we got to start from scratch.
I sent the doodle out, and no one's responded yet.
I also like in looking at this research, I read a couple of like hot wife blogs of like actual hot wives. And apparently this is a thing with anklets. Have you guys ever heard about this?
Yes.
No, I don't. What is this?
Like an idea of like a woman wearing an anklet is to let single men know that the woman is married but available.
Yes.
So, and even there are like Etsy stores dedicated to like hot wife charms for your anklet.
Yes. When you go to a bar, when the bars are open, take a look.
I wish I liked wearing anklets more. But it works because it is sort of a like statement piece. You know, I wouldn't just like happen to be wearing that anyway. Have you heard the pineapple thing about swingers? That like pineapples are
upside down pineapple and your front porch or something. Yeah.
But even like jewelry, like you can incorporate, or like if you have like a flag, like something like that. I think there's different ways you could incorporate it that sort of borrow from some of the like gay tribe back stuff, like signaling, which is really funny because I also feel like pineapple is like a safe word that keeps coming up. Like
it is.
It's a really common safe word, right?
Like for BDSM. Yes.
Yeah. So I just thought that was funny. Like I wonder what historically is it about how those things are linked. Yeah.
That are so horny.
You're just never going to be talking about them in bed otherwise. I know. So it's
and handy. Even the idea that like if you eat pineapple, then like your like bodily fluids taste better.
Yes. 100%.
Like, someone needs to write a thesis on this.
Yeah. Sucks. Not me. I'm busy doing this podcast. But listeners, please.
Someone else. Here's a free idea for you.
Yeah.
I'm full of
amazing.
Also interesting, Jerry Falwell.
Oh, God. We do. We should talk about Jerry Falwell. Do you know anything about this, Jackie?
Well, no. What? But what about him?
So.
Where do we begin?
He was the president and chancellor of like Liberty University and like
very Christian university, important to know.
He had a very famous father who was like, you know, starred in the televangelist gospel. A gospel hour on TV. And he's Jerry Falwell Jr. is like a real estate lawyer. And it recently, like in the past couple of weeks, like someone came forward, this guy who said he was what Giancarlo Granda said when he was 20, he met Jerry Falwell, Jerry and Becky, his wife, while working as a pool attendant. And that starting that month and continuing into like, you know, 2018, for like 6 years, he had a relationship with his wife while like Jerry Falwell looked on, like with his consent.
Yes.
I love it.
I know.
Yeah. Important to, but now it's like Jerry's denying it. Like it's become a whole thing.
Of course.
Yeah. Important to note that these are avid Trump supporters. Yes. Jerry Falwell specifically like supported Trump in 2016 and was like a big part of like the evangelist vote going for like the evangelical vote supporting Trump. So this just came out very recently and they're like denying it. They're saying that this
the way it came out also was really funny because it's like he posted a picture of like him with like a hot young girl on
with
his Instagram.
Pants open.
With like his pants open and people were freaking out because you're like, you know, he's like a moral like beacon, I guess. And then he was like, no, I'm not bad. Like, I've never cheated on my wife, but my wife did cheat on me. And then, but I did know about it and I was cool with it. Like, it felt like he was just trying so hard to like get ahead of the story. It just kept like slipping out of his fingers.
And in my imagination, this is just like, is a hot wife scenario. Like this is just an affair, but because they have this like moral superiority, they would never be like open about it. And if they were just like, this happened, we're down.
And it's chill.
It would be much cooler.
We've never been happier, but instead.
The highest consumers of porn are in the state of Utah. So if that says anything about.
Yeah, it does.
Conservatives usually are the most sexual. Because they're so oppressed.
Repressed.
They're oppressed.
Well, shall we take a quick break before we come back and talk about the videos?
Sure.
Awesome.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's auraframes.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back to talk about hot wifing part two. Swingmywife.com is the first video we're going to talk about. And that's all really we know about it. We don't know who directed this or who's in it.
Yeah, this is Pornhub Premium and it's still uncredited, which is fascinating and problematic. So we can't tell you who's in it.
What's actually the title called? For some reason, I don't have that written down. That's how little I cared about.
I have tattooed singer wife cheats hard.
Yeah. Tattooed singer?
Yes, which does not come into play.
Oh, we never know if she's actually a singer. So maybe she was like, hey, just I want to be clear that I am a singer.
Yeah, it's maybe she sings in like a different part of this scene, but all we got was like barely audible dialogue because nobody's mic'd up. Right. Yeah. So
wow, where to begin?
We open on a couple.
Yes.
They're on a couch, naturally.
He's in a suit. We're not sure why.
Uh-huh. Because he's a businessman.
Right. It's we're supposed to glean from this that he is wealthy, maybe, I think.
They do keep
throwing about that they're gonna go to Jamaica. So
Her birthday is coming up.
Her birthday,
or it is her birthday. Yeah.
It's coming up.
Yeah,
I think
her birthday's coming up.
It was unclear.
She met a guy at the grocery store, and that's all we know. And then all of a sudden, he's there. You know?
Yeah. She's like, "Can I have him over?"
How did he get there?
I know. I was like, "We're missing an important part here." Like
he flew in.
I need to know how he got there. Did he consent to this? Did he know that he was going to be a part of this? Like, did he know the husband was going to be there? It just was like all of a sudden he showed up and like, we're getting it.
He was standing outside the front door and she was like, don't worry, I'll tell him you're here. So he just had to wait for half an hour while she massaged the situation with her husband.
And now I'm concerned about his groceries, you know?
Yeah. Like, where are they? In the trunk of his car?
You know? I don't know. Hopefully he had no frozen food. Yeah. I mean,
we do get a great line of dialogue. I think the husband says it.
Husband.
Sometimes we do go to the swing club a lot.
Right.
So that's great. Very clear.
Yeah. I'm like, swing club. In my head, I'm like, did he mean like swing dancing club?
No, Rachel. Not this is a porn.
I know. But
we
like,
do sometimes
swing
go
club?
A lot, though. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so, we do sometimes go a lot to the swing club.
Yeah, we set up that this is not the first time this kind of thing happens. And maybe he says that to be like, sometimes it goes the other way. But not in this scene.
His face told me otherwise.
Yeah.
During the sex act itself. He did not seem to be having a great time. He was literally just a prop at one point, like her head laid on his lap while she was getting fucked. And his arms were like up on his chest. Like he couldn't get farther away from her. Like, he was just kind of like awkwardly, like he didn't know where to put his hands because he was like, he didn't want to touch her. But like I think he like put his like hand on his chin at one point to be like, huh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's look at this.
Yeah. Hubby only had three different like positions maybe over the course of the whole scene. One lasted for like the first 7 minutes of the scene where he just like had his arms rested and would kind of like nod his head occasionally while his wife is like getting banged up against him to the point where like he's being jostled, but he's still like maintaining this like indifferent expression.
He looks so sad.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah. At one point he was like bopping his head. Almost like good music. Like to try and be like, I enjoy the sex that I am here for. Like I enjoy watching my wife do sex. Like so strange and robotic.
What a good rhythm they found.
That honestly would have been better dialogue than like nothing, than him just like bopping his head.
I really wish that we could have gotten like his inner monologue. You know, just there are moments where he just was like had a blank stare. And I was like, I want to know what he's thinking about, because I can't tell.
You know what I bet he was thinking?
Yeah.
Honestly, I bet he was hired as an extra and had no idea this is what the scene was going to entail.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it did.
Oh, she's getting fucked beside me and I'm not getting anything.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Especially because of the way his hands were like, didn't want to be a part of it. Like, he was like, I don't want this to ever come back and haunt me that like I was a part of a porn. Like, so I'm just going to like, cannot touch anything. It was so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And it was mostly just pounding, you know?
Yeah.
It was just pounding. There was no really change in position or change in sex act, which is like not how I like to watch my porn. One of my favorite things I feel like about your work, Jackie, is that it's like, it doesn't just, it's not just like blowjob, then cunnilingus, and then just sex. You know, like there's a lot of variety into like what's happening, which I feel is very realistic to the sex that most people are having, you know?
Yeah, it's dynamic like, and fluid. One thing flows into the other.
Step one, step two, step three. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty mm-hmm. uneventful sex.
Yeah.
Aside from, I mean, really the guy was the highlight because it was so bizarre.
Yeah.
Like how...
You know what I noticed more than the guy, though, was the lights in the mirror that they didn't frame out. That's all I could look at the whole scene.
Yeah.
I didn't like, even notice the sex.
Yeah. Like, you were like, we couldn't have figured this out, guys? Oh, man.
I guess not.
I love that you caught that. Of course, your eye was there. You were like, guys, no one checked the frame. Like, no one looked.
Nobody looked.
Yeah.
It was bothering me the whole time. I was like, how are they not seeing this?
I'm just impressed they had lights. Like, they went into the lights, but nobody had a lav mic during the preliminary dialogue.
No. No.
And I feel like Jamaica was like Jamaica, like a tagged word for this video because they said Jamaica like 7 times. Like, I was like, we get it. You guys are going to go to Jamaica.
I feel like this is a case of, and Jackie, maybe you have a guess too, but I just like, it just feels like uncomfortable improv, you know, like it feels like a case where like nobody took the time to crack a difficult
Write a script.
So it was just two poor performers. If we can even call one of them that, like, was this a guy's buddy or is this an extra off the street? Like, who is this husband just being like, sex with someone else sounds great. Like, first time improvising with very little guidance and all they were given was like, Jamaica, birthday, guy outside. Groceries? Like...
Yeah, and I mean, I think it makes you appreciate those that are good at improvising because I think it's not necessarily something second nature. And porn performers, you know, look, they're not, that's not their forte per se. But yeah, it was clearly improv'd because it didn't make any sense. And God help whoever actually scripted it, but they didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's improv for sure. If they scripted it, quit your job.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was improv for
sure. Maybe try something else.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe
for
lighting. Sure. Maybe go in for lighting.
There's clearly an opportunity.
Yes, it's needed. Yeah. There's a market there.
Maybe he was the lighting guy. And like they were like, actually, can you also do this?
That's a good point.
Oh, God.
He also did this really strange move where he kind of like fanned himself, which I've actually never seen anyone other than like my grandma do, you know? Like, I was like, who actually does that when they're turned on? I've never seen anyone be like, oh, I'm actually like need to like fan myself because I'm so
it was stilted and awkward. It was clearly somebody from behind the camera was like, oh, it's so hot, like maybe fan yourself or something.
Yeah.
So
like,
yes, for sure that happened.
And he did like a fake loosening of his collar. Like, I was like, buddy, come on.
Yeah, this is validating for me, Jackie, because you're just confirming everything that we as like, you know, not porn actors, but actors are like, this is what went on set. Yeah, this is how we misstep. This is reminiscent of like painful student films we did where like no one was running the ship.
When everyone was like, just improv it.
Yes. It's interesting though with the fanning because, you know, I notice that a lot in porn where they'll go to like some stereotypical physical behavior to convey an emotion that nobody ever does in their lives.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect example. But like, that is what people do, that you have to kind of be like, no, no, not that. Yeah. But clearly the director didn't feel the need to stop him.
Yeah, it always goes cartoonish.
Right. Like, I was like, touch your crotch if you're if you're turned on, you know?
Tuck your dick in.
Grab your package. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, Jesus. Anything that looks real.
Ugh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It's interesting. Well, what of it?
I also wish we could figure out who the performers were, only because this woman had such a strong America theme.
Oh, yeah.
She had red, white, and blue nails. She had, like, an American, like, eagle wing. She had American eagle on, like, the front, and then, like, a whole ass, like, wing tattoo on her shoulders. And then she also had a hashtag blessed tramp stamp.
She's a patriot. She's a patriot, and she wanted us to know.
Yeah.
I think her name is Raven. I don't know her last name. She looked familiar. And then the guy, I think, is maybe Chris Streams. I don't know.
Oh, okay. All right.
Good eye. Cause,
but I don't know the husband. I've never seen him in my life.
Yeah. He's just a guy who needed to make a buck, and I honestly feel bad for him. Like, I hope he got paid something.
I know.
Because it's painful. Yeah.
My heart's out to you, buddy.
Yeah, I'm looking to see.
Or to all of them to try and, like, make this work. I mean, Raven makes sense with the wing tattoos, but I didn't know if it was, like, otherwise an America-themed porn. Like, if she's a singer in Red America, or if that's part of her persona as a performer, I was curious to know. But
we're close to July 4th, you know?
Yeah.
That's what was happening.
It just passed. We're just a little late.
Here it is, Raven Bay. That was her name, Raven Bay.
Great.
Okay.
Great.
Okay.
Is she generally like a America-themed performer? Like, is she the brunette Tommy Lahren of porn? No, this was just, the manicure this week. Cool. Yeah. I was really reading into it. I was trying to make it the thing.
I know. We're here to connect the dots. That's what we do on this podcast. Just following the breadcrumbs.
Let's move on.
Yes. Okay, so this is from Hot Wives Volume 2. Yeah. Hot Wives Volume 2. This is Busty Blonde Doll Jessa Rhodes fucks her man on the couch. We were so glad that you picked this because, Lucas Frost is maybe now one of my new favorite performers.
We may or may not have both just, like, I looked over Rachel's shoulder while we, like, creeped his Instagram and we're like, it looks like he's in California. Like, what's up with this guy?
So embarrassing. I like pointed to the gold like bracelet chain on his wrist and I was like, yeah, that's my kind of man. Okay, to set this up, this is like it's vignettes of Hot Wives and this specific
different
one.
Scenes.
This specific one, the husband wants to know every detail about like what happened. So we're doing kind of like a flashback of like her the other day, where they were in on it together, and he's like, tell me what happened, and they hired a really hot gardener. And she's
where do they find him? Is there a service? Like,
I know, because I need some lawn mowing done.
I don't have a husband, but I could come up with a garden somehow.
So
he shows up, there's some great, like, you know, fun, like, a sort of tongue-in-cheek, like, he's, like, hosing down, and she brings him some lemonade. She's wearing her swimsuit.
He, like, lifts up his shirt to, like, you know, cool down. And I was like, okay, this is some old-school fantasy stuff right here. Like, this is some old-school wife fantasy.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah. And then
we get to the action where she makes a move and he's like, but you're married. And she's like, my husband doesn't care. Why do you think I hired a hot guy to do my gardening work? And I was like, yeah, this guy looks exactly like someone I would absolutely try to have sex with. So therefore, I love this porn.
Believable.
Yeah.
She's gorgeous as well.
Yes.
Yeah, I love Jessa.
And I love that there was so much like foreplay of like dry humping. That's something that I want to see in my porn. Like, I want to see the buildup of the tension of, like, grinding on someone. There was, like, moments where he, like, grabbed her jean shorts, which I was like, I love that.
I wrote that moment down, too.
I loved it. Like, it took a long time for us to actually get to any sex act, which made me feel like that the passion was believable. And, like, there was tension there and there was heat. Yeah. And like, anytime a man goes down on a woman and he jerks off while he's doing it, I'm like, you get to go to heaven. Like, you've made it. You did.
Well, there's a dual purpose there, right? Like, you're getting yourself hard, you're enjoying it, but like, the thought of you enjoying, she does it too, which you don't always see. Yeah. Like, she's, she pleasures herself while she's going down on him. I really like that. I was like, this is a trend that should take off. Like, the idea of like, being able to do both and not like treating giving someone else pleasure or head like a chore, you know, like how do we make it fun for the whole family? So to speak.
Was also this there was this great move where she like perched on his face like while he was sitting on the couch that I was like, that is impressive.
Yeah, she did some impressive acrobatics. Her speaking of reverse cowgirl, hers was really notable. Athleticism in this video for sure.
Very true.
From both,
For both, for sure. Anything like behind the scenes or like shooting a scene like this, like in particular you want to talk about?
Well, behind the scenes of this one, here's a little thing.
Oh,
they both were going through a breakup at the time with different people. So they were in emotionally kind of tough spaces.
Yeah.
And they really leaned on each other that day just as friends. Knowing that they were going to have sex. So it ended up being a pretty emotional day in a good way. Like they kind of were scratching the itch or whatever of their own pain.
That's really interesting because I couldn't like, I'm not going to be like, I know, I could tell. Like I couldn't tell from watching it. But in hindsight, it kind of like makes sense. There was something very like soulful about Lucas's performance too. Like it was a little bit withdrawn, but still like engaged, like not withdrawn, like detached from her, but like very underperformative in a good way. Like it just felt very natural. Yeah. And I also felt like they did a thing I love seeing where like they would kind of like whisper to each other occasionally or sort of mutter little things to each other that made it feel like they were engaged with each other, you know, that it was less like, do you hear me, audience, saying that I enjoy it? Like there was some of that like more boisterous enjoyment, but a lot of like, oh fuck, like holy shit, like just little asides to each other kind of. That I was like, I really like seeing that in porn, like
and some long sustained eye contact. That's what I'm looking for, you know. I want to feel that there's a connection. That makes sense to me that there was like, you know, they obviously like leaned on each other and probably just lent itself to the story.
Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't always work out like that. I mean, we got lucky and they're both good performers just outside of what they were dealing with that day. But the other little tidbit is her husband is my PA.
That's so funny.
Wait, I hope I'm not treading on bad territory asking this. Her husband that she was splitting from at the time or her husband now?
Oh, no. Her husband in the movie. I don't know if you guys watched.
Oh, got it. We did. Yeah. That's your PA. Yes. Okay. Yes. I thought you meant like her real life husband was a PA on set. And I was like, whoa, wait, she was breaking up. Wait, how? Like, I got confused. Yeah. Okay. Far less dramatic. But the guy playing her husband who's in bed and that she has the conversation with about him.
Got it.
I also really loved the ending of this, that he's like, if I'm remembering or paraphrasing the dialogue correctly, it's something to the effect of him being like, you should see him again, right? Yeah. Like he's kind of encouraging her to continue this, even though that's not typically how it goes, which I thought was really lovely. That little like, husband's like wants to know about it. And it demonstrates that sort of idea of him sharing in her enjoyment and like really wanting it.
And that he was like supportive of it. He was like, if you had such a great time, like you should see him again. And she was like, really? Like, are you're cool with that? The trust there, you know,
for sure. I mean, it's critical. And I think that that's where that's more important to me, honestly, than the sex, is like establishing the consent. And the comfortability with a couple.
That's really apparent in your work. And you always do it in a really clever way that doesn't feel like, and here's where consent happens, or like, this is why sex good. You know, like it's always sort of like woven into the dialogue. And I like, Rachel's even more of a proponent of story in porn than I am, in that like, I like it to be believable. I like to feel comfortable about who's having sex with each other. And like, if you can do it quickly and just say like, this is why these people are hot for each other and this is why we should root for them, I'm in. And it doesn't need to be like a whole feature length thing, but just like a couple lines that are like, ooh, that's hot. It's all I need. And I think you do that really well, like really efficiently in a really cool way.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I loved like obviously all of the clit stimulation and that she came many times. And then I loved there was like one moment where she was like in reverse cowgirl and like rubbing her clit and it was with her hand that had the wedding ring on it.
Yes. You got to always show the marriage when the husband's not there. I mean, in a couple scenes in that movie that we had the husbands present, not in that one. But yeah, the wedding ring is always, we always focus on that.
And it's such a simple ad, but just like any time a woman has her hand on her own clit, I'm like, yes, because it's so commonly left out. And like you said, for any like young people watching, like, do you know this hot trick? It's called pleasuring yourself like while you're having sex with someone else.
Yeah, try it, please.
There was also a ton from him too of like him reaching around and working her clit while he was fucking her from behind. Like, so great, so important to include that stuff. Love it.
Yeah.
There was also a moment where I kind of actually got lost and forgot that she was married to someone else. And then that there was like, I feel like maybe like three quarters of the way through, she mentioned her husband. And then I was like, oh, yeah. Right. Which I appreciated.
They're not gonna end up together.
I appreciated because I hate when it's like you're getting banged over the head with it. You know, like I don't need to hear her husband throughout the entire thing, you know. I liked that I forgot and then I remembered and then I was like, oh, this is even sexier, you know?
Yeah.
You know what we did leave out, though, is the Jamaica comment.
Yeah, my only note, Jackie, I'm so sorry to say, is that more Jamaica? Like, where was Jamaica? Yeah. Like, I just, I'm confused, honestly.
They go hand in hand.
Forgot. But you know what? The lights weren't in the shot. So
they weren't. And it was stunningly done.
Yeah. So usually we close out the show with a like, which one is going in your spank bank? Test metric.
It's safe to say that the Jessa Rhodes and Lucas Frost scene is absolutely already there.
Yes, absolutely there. Rachel and I watched your film together, which we used to do occasionally but don't do anymore, and it was a like brief thing where we're both like taking notes and then just like sort of stop to like enjoy the porn, and I literally was just like, oh, I miss sex.
Like, I know, we both were like, ugh,
probably the closest we've ever been to being like, hey, could you go into the other room and we can just separately enjoy this. Like, this is definitely going in both of our spank banks, I can safely say.
Yay! That's awesome, guys. Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, Jackie, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, and truly, thank you for your work.
Like, yes, thank you for all that you do. We're such big fans.
Yeah.
Do you want to plug your site and where our listeners can find you?
Yeah, I mean, you can find me on JackieStJames.com and pretty much my handle is Jackie St. James, Twitter, Instagram, OnlyFans, all those good places. Nice. And then Balesa Films. You want to check out all their stuff. Yeah. It's incredible. And
very well
I just
done.
Started a new amateur thing with Balesa. It's called Balesa House. And it's
awesome. I didn't know that you were part of Balesa House, too. That's so
great. We've seen that. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. That's great. Balesa also, like, free advertisement for them on top of it. They make my favorite. My wand that I use is Balesa, and I didn't even get paid to say that, so.
So we know it's real.
We are such big fans of Balesa, yeah.
Yeah.
Good, totally. Me too. They're so wonderful. I love them.
Oh, it's great to hear that. It's great to know that.
It's good to know,
Awesome. For sure. Thanks so much for listening to Girls on Porn. You can find us on Instagram at Girls on Pern. That's porn without the O because fuck Instagram. On Twitter at GOP the Podcast and on our website, girlsonporn.com.
Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the show if you haven't already.
If you give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, tag your Insta handle and we'll tag you and thank you.
This has been Girls on Porn, the only GOP that's actually good.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.